with me to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 27. I don't know what button you push, but don't push it again. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised. The book of James, chapter 5 and verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let them call to the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. In Mark 6, 18, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse 12. And he poured of the anointing oil upon Aaron's head and anointed him to sanctify him. Leviticus chapter 8 and verse number 10. And Moses took the anointing oil and anointed the tabernacle and all that was therein and sanctified them. The book of Exodus chapter 40 and verse 9. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shall allow and shall hallow it, and all vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. In the book of Genesis, chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for pillars, and poured oil upon the top of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21. Now he which established you was with Christ in you, and hath anointed you is God. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4 and verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take away my two sons to be bondmen. Father, I've read many scripture, and I don't know if everyone was able to turn to everyone. But there is a common theme about the anointing oil. I believe in the anointing. I pray every day that you would anoint my life, anoint my mind, my spirit, and my soul. I want to be clean of everything that's of the world, the flesh, of the devil. But I have a great desire to know Jesus Christ, to be touched of God in every way possible. I need that anointing ever since you called me to preach. I've known that without that anointing, I'm nothing. God, help me this night to be able to preach this message that I believe that you've allowed me to receive for this people. And I ask you in Jesus' name to give every one of us a desire to be filled with the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There are symbolisms and types in the Word of God. And oil has always been a symbol of the Holy Spirit. We're nothing without the anointing of God Almighty. Whether you realize it or not, Jesus must needs be touched with the Holy Spirit. It says, how that God anointed him with the Holy Ghost. Everywhere Jesus went, he did good. Healed sick, fed multitudes, cast out devils. Whatever needed to be done, he was there to do it. The press of the crowd was so great, they had to tear the roof off of a house to get the needy into it. They touched but the hem of his garment, and a virtue went out from him. I believe that every bit of that was by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, even in Christ. Jesus, born of a virgin girl, lived 33 years on this earth. But from the time of his birth, you hear of him when he's 12 years old, when he confounds the doctors and the lawyers with his wisdom and knowledge. You never hear another word of him until he's 30. 18 years of total silence between being in the temple of the doctors and lawyers. What did he do? I taught a series of Sunday school lessons on that many, many years ago. I believe that Jesus, being born of a woman, had many of the same experiences that I do. That's what those lessons were about. I believe it was necessary, though he was the Christ, that in that body, I believe that it was necessary for him to pray. Jesus prayed. If you ever wanted to locate him, you could find a place of prayer, and that's where he would be. If you wanted to know where he was, he said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He was in the house of God. It was all a part of his upbringing. Mary jumped all over him. Jesus, why have you done this to me? We didn't know where you were. They didn't know where he was for a couple of days. When he told her, he said, I've got to be about my Father's business. Many things that we know of his life, many things that we don't know. But Jesus never preached a message, never healed a body, never cast out a devil until he was anointed with the Holy Ghost. You and I must be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you would ask the average Christian today, what do you have? Talking about the things of God. I don't know. I just know I need more. I don't know what I have. I don't know if I have anything, would be the answer of some, if they were honest. But if you are filled with the Spirit of God, you have everything that you need. I want to push that with you a little bit tonight. God has supplied. He said, I will supply your every need according to my riches and glory. I do not find where God has provided any Savior except Jesus Christ. I do not find where he has added any power after saying, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you. We are believers in the Word of God. You don't add to it. You add to it, he'll add to you the plagues that are in it. If you take away from it, he'll take your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm not looking for another means to have my sins blotted out. My sins are blotted out through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Not gold, not silver, not precious gems. Jesus said, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I go away, I will send you another comforter. What he said was, as long as I'm here, he's not going to come. I must return. John said Jesus was the baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. If someone would ask us tonight, what do you have? What are you missing? We never can have all of God. I don't believe we'll even have that in heaven. You disagree with me? That's all right. I believe that we'll have a perfected body. I believe we'll have a glorified body. I believe we'll have one like his, but we'll never be deity. If someone would ask us tonight, what is it that you have? What do you have? I don't think that we would be wrong to say, I've got everything. I went to hear three brothers preach the gospel in the state of Illinois. And what they preached that night was that when you get the Holy Spirit, you've got it all. I sat there and I listened to them. And I was thinking in my mind, the Bible says that to one is given, to another is given. He said, line upon line, precept upon precept. I don't believe that Dwight Thacker has all of God that there is. I don't believe Robert Turnage does. That's the reason that when we come together, you supply, I supply, until we have the full measure of Christ, and then we've got everything. But when you have Christ and you have the Holy Spirit, in that measure that you have it, you have everything that you need. Can you find anywhere where God said, I've taken you as far as I can, I've done all I can do, I've supplied what I can supply, go do the best you can, go seek something else? No. Come unto me. That's all it is. It's all in him, and so we can see that it is because of the anointing that the yoke is destroyed. His yoke says bondages. I was thinking about Elisha. It's impossible to preach some things in the church today that's in the Bible. How many of you know the Bible says greet one another with a holy kiss? It's in your Bible. How many times have you heard that preached? There's a lot of things. Elisha was a man that told Elijah, I want a double portion of your spirit. The spirit that's on you, I want a double portion. He told him, he said, if you see me when I go, you can have it. You can receive it. Does anyone here remember that Elijah lived with a widow woman? Let a preacher move in with a widow and see what kind of a stink you're going to stir up. This woman said to Elijah, I want you to help me have two boys. Had a husband that loved God with all of his heart. He loved God, served God. I've got two boys. My husband had an indebtedness. I can't pay those bills. My husband is dead. The creditors are coming after my two boys. Elisha said to that lady, tell me what you've got in the house. She said, I've got a pot of oil. He said, go get the vessels. Go get the vessels. Bring those vessels in. And when you get them here, get empty vessels. When you get those empty vessels, you begin to pour the oil. He told her, after she had gone and gotten all the vessels, he told her, he said, you go back and get vessels more. She said, there's nothing left. There are no empty vessels. All the vessels are full. He said, sell that oil. Pay your creditors. And take your sons home with you. God has made a way that we can pour. It makes no difference. Like those guys preaching that there's nothing more you can get from God. That's not true. I can have more. I can gain more. I can be enlarged. Caiaphas said, I must decrease that he may increase. There's always room for more. But what I have is sufficient to pay the creditor, to get him off my back, to get him out of my life, to get him out of this church, to get him out of everything that we're going through. He said, this poor. I wonder if you and I in this church would make more of a prayer meeting than 5 minutes. I wonder if we would just pour and pour and pour and pour until every vessel was full. What in the name of heavens would we be able to do for God in binding the creditors? I never had a son. My wife and I only that one daughter. But I love her with all of my life. And I know this woman led to her sons. You didn't have a son. If you knew that there was something that was going to take your son away, you're going to lose him. It was a just debt. The debt was owed, and you couldn't pay it. What would you do to save that boy? What would, you've got four of them. What would you do to save that girl? The creditors have every right to claim and to lay hold of those children. She had nothing in the natural. But the man of God said, you start pouring. If you and I could get out of our carnality and our selfishness, and we would stay before God until we pour out of the little oil that we have. She only had a little oil. We have a measure, but God has more. And the creditors will not be able to take our sons and daughters. Let me throw this in, because I am a preacher. May not be a good one, but I am a preacher. I'm troubled at the what I see and hear that's going on in churches. I learned something this morning before church I've never heard of before. I was shocked. I was disappointed. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. But it seems like there's things going on in church that's never been heard of before. We're taking the things of the world into the church. We were on vacation a great number of years ago, and we'd gone to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Jason Ferris Sanders was with us. We'd actually gone to pray for Brother Bergen up in Cottage Hills in Illinois. He had Parkinson's. We went through Pigeon Forge. It got to be Sunday. I told him, I said, we're going to church somewhere. So for 2 or 3 days, while we were there, we were looking for a church to attend. Saw this nice looking Assembly of God church. Said, that's where we're going to go to church. Now I'm going to show you. I can prove to you that I'm as dumb as some of you think I am. But I'm totally uneducated in the things of the world. I know really nothing of it. We got in there, and when we left, let me say this first. When we left, Sarah looked at me. She said, I wonder how long you're going to take that. I just wondered how long. I said, I don't even understand what they're doing. I don't understand what they're saying. I don't know what any of that means. But there's a form of dancing, something about something of boots, a boot something. I don't know. Boots don't know. Have you ever heard of it? They were out there doing the boot song. Now, that's the only two words I can remember. And you might know that when I went to church, I got down close to the front. We're sitting there, and they're doing that boot song. I looked at my wife, just in terror. I said, let's get out of here. We got up and saturated that place with our accents. I didn't care what they thought about it. I didn't care what it looked like. somebody says, well, you just live differently. If I do, I'm satisfied with that difference. You know what preachers need today, including your pastor? We need to pour in some more oil. We need an anointing. We need a power with God. We need more than just a song service. We need more than a preaching. We need God. And this woman had a little oil. Does anybody here have even a little oil? I've got a little. Do you have a little? Do you have a little? Do you have a little? Then we need to pour. The creditors have come. Men that are called preachers, they cannot even preach. You know why? They're not studying the Word of God. They're not calling upon the name of the Lord. Brother Clinton, one time at the Polk County Camp Meeting in Lancaster, told me, he said, son, when you become a preacher, you're the type you will be able to preach. You can never pray. You can never study or anything. I don't know what he meant by all of that. But he said, I'm going to tell you, you cannot be a preacher of God unless you study, unless you pray. I'm telling you, I need oil. I need to pour oil. I need more oil. I need more oil. I need more of the Holy Spirit. I need more of the power of God. I can say this about preachers, and I'm saying it about them because I'm going to apply it to us. We need to come out of bondage. We need to come out of formality. We need to come out of routine. We need to come out of a form that has no godliness. You have to admit our preaching is affecting very, very few people in this earth. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? Paul preached the gospel. We preach the gospel. But how many are crying, what must I do? You know what we need? We need more oil. We need more God. We need more of the anointing. We need to come out of our bondage. We need to be liberated. But it's not only the preacher. Jesus, the greatest preacher that ever lived, said, I couldn't do anything with you. I couldn't heal the sick. You wouldn't listen to me. It's not enough that the preacher be anointed. The listener must also be anointed. The listener must also be anointed. I told Sister McBride after the first lesson, I told her, there was a part of that lesson where I could really see that the anointing of God was upon you. But you step back, and it was not audible to everyone else what you said. That was an anointing to you, and that's the reason it was not an anointing to them. The Word of God is more than words. There is a Spirit of God that is upon the Word of God. And if that man can preach with anointing, he needs the people to hear with an anointing. We need to be set free. We need to be set free. We need to stop and begin to pour out of ourselves by the Spirit of God. The same thing that set this lady and her voice free is the same thing that will set me free. I've got more, but I'll quit there. There's more than a symbolism in that. That's the truth of God. That when you have a little, it will pour. If you let God enlarge the capacity, Caiaphas said, I will decrease. John said, I will decrease, say he may increase. You don't have enough. I don't have enough. We don't have enough for this world. But I'm telling you what I believe. I believe that God has left us here for a reason and for a purpose. I believe God has left us here because of the potential of what He can do through us if we will humble ourselves and pray. If we'll be filled, if we'll be full, there's nothing God can't do and won't do. I was going to go through these scriptures that I read. They were sanctified by the anointing. They worked miracles by the anointing. That's all that you and I need, is we know what we need is more of Him. Would you stand with me here today?